3, 2, 1, we're live.
Welcome to the greatest show on earth, the Mr. National Podcast.
It's like a three-ring circus.
That's it, my man P-Double. But P-Double, you know, I'm feeling like Mr. Rogers today. When I was a kid, you used to watch Mr. Rogers, and he'd be there, and you used to see him, Mr. Rogers, right? You used to see him.
Yep.
But then he would say, "Hello, boys and girls. Today we got a special guest." And then it was like the choo-choo train to come around. You know what I mean?
And the blowing weird out little, the little puppets and shit.
Yeah, the little locomotive blowing the smoke out. Oh. Well, screw that smoke. We got the real smoke today. We got Mr. Smokestack in the house.
What up?
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. A beautiful day in the neighborhood. Won't you be mine?
Could won't you be mine?
Won't you be my neighbor?
You're my neighbor. Homeboy was weird.
he was a little weird. I mean, he was weird. Gomer Powell was weird. That guy. And Mr. Rogers was cool, man. He was neat.
What kind of sweater did he wear, Corey? He wore a cardigan.
That's right. I was going to say, a cardigan sweater. He was clean.
Mm-hmm. If he changed it, he had his little jacket that he'd take off. Put on his little sweater when he came in.
Well, look, I got to cut you guys. I know Stack, used to our Stack with National. It's the Mr. National Podcast. And we start mostly every show with a tirade by myself, who everybody knows is nice, calm, and laid back. So seeing me get outraged is a little strange. Today, it's a full moon out. You know, if you looked out the window, it's a full moon. And I had to go to work this morning. And the reason why, because I didn't hit that damn Mega Millions or the Powerball. So I woke up both mornings broke as hell and pissed. Paul, did you play?
No, but you just made me remember the thing that I wanted to bring up. I got a great story about that. Well, we'll cover that after you rant.
Hold on to that. So did anyone win the Powerball, Corey?
Well, I know I didn't. I didn't even play it.
I know I didn't because...
Well, somebody won the Mega Millions.
In South Carolina.
Yeah, but I just heard earlier this afternoon, somebody in my town won $1 million. They bought, at the Rite Aid of all places, they bought a ticket. They won $1 million.
No way. They had
a mile from my house. Yeah.
They had four numbers plus the Powerball.
That's obviously. There's about six people that won that.
Unbelievable. And I'm looking at my Powerball, and nobody hits that.
I had the Powerball. I played five tickets with my daughter. We had two numbers in the Powerball, or one number in the Powerball. But last time we played, we had zero numbers. So I didn't expect to win, but...
Two numbers in the Powerball gets you $7.
What's the most irritating thing people say when they win, Corey?
Win what? The Powerball?
A big jackpot, a big sum of money.
What they say?
Well, it's usually some older couple. Doesn't matter if they're white or black, but you know, someone that doesn't need the money is what you really get pissed off. I'd rather see some Haitian guy or some illegal alien. You know what I mean? Angel, you know, and it just came to this country, you know, that works in, you know, picking fields, you know.
Vegetables. Right, yeah. Oh, yeah, nobody
and
like
And hear what he says he's going to do, but typically what will happen is an older couple win and they get interviewed, because they don't hide. They'll come out and say, well, what are you going to do with the money, Betty and Jim? I think we'll take care of the grandkids a little bit, start a college fund, maybe do a little traveling. We're thinking about an RV, okay? It's like the Mad Magazine. You remember you used to fold it open? It would be like what he said and then what he really meant. Remember that story? Well, that's right. What I always think of when I see that. So when they interview me and they ask me, Smokestack, what are you going to do with the money? I'm going to get fucking annihilated. I'm going to Vegas. I'm going to get 40 hookers. And I'm going to have their feet all over my face.
Biting asses.
Right.
Right. do a line of coke off some model's ass or something, you know?
Whatever. Tell the truth what you're gonna do. I'm gonna have a party with my friends and we're gonna get annihilated. You know? After that, then you can ask me.
Right.
And then you said, I don't have anything left.
after 2-3 weeks of that, then I'll come back. Then you can interview me. Then I'll come back with the grandkids and that stuff. I'll talk like Betty and Jim after that.
So you probably got a little pissed off at the drive-thru line tonight, too, Corey. Tell me about that.
Well, the tonight's dinner was Wendy's. And, eating healthy, you know what I mean? I'm trying to get back to that model figure of mine again, you know? So, it's getting late. I got to do the show. I said, let me get something quick, you know what I mean? I ain't much of a cooker, P-Double, you know what I mean? I ain't cooking nothing, but got Wendy's.
Oh, yeah,
the line was through the roof.
Yeah?
Through the roof.
The line was, like, so long as it's vertical.
Were they having a sale, or why were people just bum-rushing to Wendy's tonight?
I was 9 cars deep. I don't know. I guess it was the full moon. I guess it was the full moon. I don't know what it was. People were just lazy. It's getting cold now. Nobody wants to go out shopping. You know, if you went out shopping Saturday, Sunday, your groceries are thin right about now. It's Thursday night.
True.
You know, it's like, we're going to eat out today.
Right.
Go to
Chinese
Wendy's
or something.
That was my other choice. Get some Chinese. You know, get some cat or dog, you know? That's the
you like Chinese? How about you, Paul?
I got Wendy's last night, and I'll do a lot. Sometimes I'll do a Taco Bell, just a bean burrito. And it's not actually that bad for you.
So. That get all his meals cooked. He's like the king of his castle. You know what I mean?
I had pork chops tonight. Real whipped mashed potatoes, cabbage with bacon and some stuff in it. It was very good.
Wow, yeah. That sounds delicious.
That's what Stacks say. When you hitting it right, they get up early in the morning. they cut potatoes.
You have to let Paul know where you're going with this.
Yeah.
What do you mean when you're hitting it right?
Oh, he knows. He knows the G spot. P-Double knows. When you hit the right stack, say, they get up. They make breakfast for you. And that no Jimmy Dean sausage and no little tater tots. They stick it. He said they get up early. They just cutting potatoes. They slicing them. Make you a nice omelet.
Man, I don't know then. I mean, my wife just got home. I don't know where she's been.
And then after you eat orange juice.
Then you saw that movie Baby Boy, you just pick her up and just walk her around the kitchen, you know what I mean?
You have a vivid imagination.
Wait on that going on.
Or right on the table.
Just some good old Wendy's, you know what I mean? Folks, welcome to the Mr. National Podcast. Got P-Double, as always. But today our special guest, Mr. Smokestack. Stack, I want to just get your take. I mean, I know we do ours, and people might be like, oh, they breaking up. Nash's doing his own thing. They ain't doing it. No, we will be back. We won't stop the Stack with Nash show. That was the seed planted. The roots came from that. We'll be back. Me and Stack been down for a while. Stack's just getting back on the horse. I was down with my foot. I'm back. So do not be mistaken. The Stack with Nash show will be back with full fury.
Yeah, you can find the podcast on the stackwithnatshow.com if that tells you anything.
Absolutely. So Stack, I mean, I'm not sure if you've been listening in on the podcast while you've been recouping. What do you think of P-Double and, you know, myself? What's your take, Stack's take on it?
I think it's good. I think it's a lot of different topics. P-Double is a very good listener, very good technician, obviously, to pull this off. Very little hiccups in the broadcast. It's a good idea. I just read an article. I'll send it to you guys around podcasts, how to make money on, how to monetize it. And they're not kind of niche, kind of like, Like in Philly, we have Bleeding Green Nation. That was just a bunch of guys that started, that loved the Eagles, loved the city, and they started a podcast. How many followers they have, Corey? About 1 million, 2 million?
Oh, my God. Is it crazy? Insane. Is it
and insane? Their equipment rivals. It's probably no better than what what's that group that the son and the father, they put a lot of money into theirs. But
well, theirs is better than Bleeding Green. You know, Gridiron Plus Network.
Yeah, I think Gridiron Plus has better equipment than...
Oh, yeah. These guys is just sitting there with a laptop and a camera, the little camera, yeah. Real simple.
Bleeding Green?
Bleeding Green Nation.
Bleeding Green
good.
Nation.
Wow.
Me and Stat hang with them. They tailgate. They go to all the Eagle home games, and they do a live broadcast right from the parking lot with the tailgates.
Really?
It's nuts. It's nuts. I mean, they look like us. They sit there drinking. Matter of fact, what are we drinking, fellas?
Did I see Crown Royal?
You said Crown Apple, and I got a Bud Lime. And I'm mixed.
I'm not sure how this got into the studio, but I got a Bud Light.
That's okay. Ooh,
that's all right. We can go with that.
This is really bad, but tell me if you guys heard this joke. What does Sex on the Beach and Bud Light have in common? They're both nearly fucking water. I'm sorry. They're both fucking near water. That's what it is.
I got a Bud Light Lime. So, I mean, yeah, I'm drinking the same thing. Stat, you got anything?
No, I haven't drinking that much, you know. Almost
I was sick.
Yeah, and not that. I've had a couple beers, but no real hard liquor. Been drinking iced tea. I make a pretty good iced tea. And I just wanted to jump in on the show, but back on the podcast track, usually around this time of year, it's a little slow on the EF scene. You could see that on Facebook, but right around end of October, November, people start getting the itch. They come out for scrimmages. We had one, in fact, in Philly about 2 weeks ago. We had a good time. But anyway, Corey and I, when we do our stack, when we start doing stack with Nat, the buildup of the show, because we get a little inebriated, and when we start doing our picks for, like, predictions, and we start breaking down each coach, their tendencies, and going over last year, and you know, once we get a few drinks in, this is hilarious. And guys, they know that we're going to get to them, and they'll tune in. They won't let you know that they're there.
right.
They'll text you the next day. Why you do that to me, man?
Oh, that brings up a good point. I actually let me take a little side note on that. I got a call from an artist who we were talking about on our last show, and. Remember the guy who didn't want his art in the collage?
Yeah!
Yeah, he called me. He's like, hey, man, I just wanted to let you know that you were saying I was being negative. And I said, oh, no, I wasn't talking about you. I didn't even see the collage. And he said that he wanted his art taken out of the thing, but somebody told him that it's in there and you can't take it out because it's in a collage.
Right. He heard your podcast? How did he know? What, he just randomly went to your website and listened to the podcast?
Oh, sure. No, he's an EF guy.
Yeah, he's an EF guy. Yeah, he's an EF guy.
I thought he was just an artist.
Oh, no.
No, he paints EF guys. He paints a quarterback.
And one of his pictures ended up in...
Yeah, Scotty. I think his name is Scotty. He painted a Sonny Jurgensen out of the old throwback. I mean, it was sweet. The guy is great.
Yeah. So he said he wanted it taken out. But we couldn't take it out.
Yeah, I saw that.
And so he said he just wanted to be clear. His response to that was okay, fine, and that was it. He wasn't being negative. I started talking about people being negative in their business, mm-hmm. and he thought I was talking about him. So he actually called me out on it, and I was like, no, man. No, I wasn't talking about you at all. I didn't even see the collage.
Right.
Anyway, I told him I'd clear it up on the next podcast.
He's still waiting, right?
Yeah,
right.
So here we are, Scotty, and we're clearing it up. No hard feelings.
You're not negative.
Corey, who else do we know in the EF world that's also an artist or very inclined to the arts.
Well, P-Double.
He, of course, obviously.
Well, my favorite, I got a couple favorites.
Gene is awesome, okay?
Yeah. We got the guy from Richmond I'm thinking about. He's...
Who?
Richmond, Virginia.
Who is it? I can't think of it. The name escapes me. Who is it?
He comes to all the events. Ballhead guy, big glasses. He has a radio show, podcast.
What? Who?
He did the art exhibit in Richmond.
Oh, he's not really an artist though. You're talking about Chris Bops. Yeah. Chris Bops, a Boops. Yeah. I don't think Chris is really an artist though, Stack. I don't know.
Oh yeah, he's a Renaissance man. Just like
he's a musician.
He's into 100 different things.
Yeah, he's a musician. Yeah, Chris. Yeah, he put on the art show, right? He thought it was all artwork, and he was right. And he actually put on an art show. I don't know if you remember that, P-Double, but in Richmond, Virginia, a few years ago, he actually had an art exhibit. He asked everybody to send out their equipment. And before everybody knew him, he was like, what? Who? I'm not sending my stuff to this guy.
Right.
But he was legit. I mean,
he did. He did it twice. I think he did it like 2 years later, and it was even bigger than the first time.
Yep. He did one during the
really good plug for Electric Football, because he showed the beauty, the talent of the detailers and the painters. I think he had a couple boards set up.
Oh yeah.
I mean, if you consider that art, which I do, there's a ton of artists in EF. You know.
Oh yeah, I mean Matt McGraw,
Manny Hall,
what's the guy? Michael Weingarten. I mean, those guys are
Kenny King. Don't forget about Kenny King.
We can name some people, Paul. We go way back, guys like Gino, what was his name out west? Gino, not Gino.
No, the G-Man, Garrett, the G-Man.
And then even Steve Martin, you see him, but you don't realize that 20 years ago, he used to paint college teams by hand. That I defy you to know whether it was, you know, Matt McGraw, not as good as Matt McGraw, but I mean back then with the paintbrushes.
Right,
there's a guy named Dirk, what was Dirk's last name?
Thomas.
Dirk Thomas. Used to paint. I swear this guy could have been the Birdman of Alcatraz. I mean, he was that good. Remember when Tampa Bay Bucks first came out?
Yeah.
Gunmetal gray helmet and the logo, which they still wear. He used to paint 3D numbers by hand.
Right, three colors. Yeah, he would outline the trim. Yeah, it was painted the
Arizona Cardinal with the eye and everything and the bird. Yeah. You thought it was a decal.
How about Paros?
Was way, way ahead of his time.
Remember Paros? Paris or Paros? He was another great painter. Paros.
He was mostly a collector.
But he painted
too.
There were
a lot of people that used to just blow us away. Terry Popham was an excellent.
There's
painter.
A guy that lives in town here, Chris Markham, who did the.
Oh, he's another artist.
You guys know him, yeah.
He came up in our, you know, in that pack that we know. Sure, yeah. So, I'm watching the Texans. They're up 14-7 over the Dolphins, which is great because they're one of my picks.
Yeah. So the Pick'em Challenge, you're bringing that up.
Yeah, it's tightening up. Is it tightening up?
A little bit. It's hard to make up any ground at this point of the season, you know. Every week, if you can make up one game,
that's when you do
that's
it.
That's a move, you know.
Well, I'm closer to picking up ground with Stack rather than you.
Yeah.
P-Double, you're way out in front.
Yeah, I've got out in front early, and now I just got to maintain. So if I can just see what you guys pick.
No, we won't let you. Hey, Stan,
how many games are you out front? Three or four?
Four.
Okay, that's nothing. let's talk more about it before week 9, because we're getting ready to cross the midway point. A lot of teams have had their bye. Some haven't, but most of them have. So before we do our picks for week 9, we can retrospectively look back at the first 8 and say, okay, from the Pick'em Challenge, P-Double's ahead, but chasing him, you know, with 2 games behind or 4 games behind.
Well, here's what I want to do. We're at the midway point of the season. Who's your MVP? Who's your coach of the year? Who should be fired? Anybody want to take one of the spot?
Hey, my MVP is Mahomes.
Okay. Patrick Mahomes is your MVP. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty good. I'm going to go with the running back from the Rams, Ty Gurley.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
That's my MVP. Who do you got, Stack? You got MVP?
I like the running back for the Steelers, James
Get the heck out of here.
And I'm not even a Steeler fan.
No way. He ain't no MVP. Coach of the year, the guy from the Rams.
Gotta be, yeah.
McVay. Unbelievable. Young.
They are rolling, man.
They are rolling.
I don't see anybody stopping them right now.
And then I got my Niners are struggling, dude. I gotta get on. I'm headed out to Zona this weekend for the game.
Really? Nice.
Yep. Really. National supports his Niners. You know what I mean?
Through thick and thin.
I support electric football and I support my Niners. Let me get this out. We go on these trips, you know. A lot of people have jobs, you know, you get personal days, you get sick days or whatever, you know, you put it in. I don't get that. You know, when I miss, I miss. You know, when you don't show up, you don't get paid. So I got to miss it. That's why a lot of times I got to cut my trip short. You know, Friday to Monday is about the most I can miss. The best case scenario, P-Double, is, you know, I miss a Friday and I miss a Monday. I kind of cringe if we had weekend work, which is overtime, that going into that same weekend, I'm like, damn, I'm missing it. You know what I mean? To go to this,
yeah. You had the off season, brother.
Yeah.
And plus on weekends, you get time and a half. It's not like regular straight time.
Oh, no, it's time.
So you have to magnify that expense.
Yeah, and Sunday is double time. So, yeah. But you can't count the money, you know what I mean? Those trips that we take, you know, I mean, me and Stackton taking up the dozens of them. A lot of road trips. The road trips are probably the best. I mean, the plane that, you know, when we used to fly over to certain places, you know, that was, you just on the plane, you talk a little bit. But the road trips, when we can cut up in the car, you know, me and Stack would take turns driving, you know what I mean? He would take his car, I would take we smoke a cigar.
Tell him the story about the guy that puts out, there used to be the chat board, he'd say, hey, I'm heading to the convention. Does anybody have a spare room that I could share?
Yeah.
And we used to go to this bizarre story that he would wake up, room service would wake him up. He would be dressed up like Kiss. His mascara would be running down. He would be like one of those Sado things. It would be like bloody tissues in a trash can. Polaroid pictures. All because he tried to split a room.
With some stranger, right. It was like, moral of the story is like, Don't share a room. Don't do it. Somebody you don't know.
Oh, I got a good story for you guys about it's similar to electric football, but I told you guys I played Tabuti or table soccer.
And
the similar kind of things, but there's not that many people that play. So there's, you know, probably 100 guys in the whole United States that play.
You're kidding me. Really?
Maybe not even that. I mean, it's hard to get tournaments together, you know.
Eddie Morgans, you ever play him?
No.
Come across Eddie Morgans?
No. He plays?
Oh, yeah. You don't know Rue?
No. But anyway, there's a guy that plays, his name is Zach, and he's real intense about it. He loves it. So he wanted to, every year they have this big tournament up in New England, and they were, everybody was getting ready to go up there for the weekend to have this big tournament. And most of the guys that play table soccer, actually there's a bunch of them that are from Maryland. And so there was a big, huge snowstorm, and basically the guy from Colorado, Zach, couldn't make it. So the rest of the guys started driving up, and when the snow was so bad they couldn't, they decided not to have the tournament, but they didn't tell Zach. So on the way back, what they did for entertainment was, on the drive, they called up Zach and acted like they were having a tournament, and they made up with this whole tournament. Didn't tell him about it. Made up all these upsets, you know, like this guy who's not very good beat this other great player and stuff like that.
And that's terrible.
Yeah, I know, right? Anyway, he didn't find out about it till the next day when he got on Facebook or something.
Well, that's what Stack's story kind of do. Like when we back in the old days, the Miggle convention days, we'd be in the lobby talking about, you know, just waiting, should see everybody coming in. Then you get in the rooms, you got the beers going, and this, you know, Stack will bring up that story. Who was that guy looking for a room? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I was like, I don't know that guy. You know, if you don't know him, you ain't going to respond to the post. So Stack goes in, you know, in Stack mode. You know, he goes in smokestack mode. And he says, you know, well, what if, you know, you answered it. Oh, hi, I'm coming up there. I need a roommate. We'll meet in the lobby. Well, I'm getting in real early, so I'm in room so-and-so. Stack say you go in the room, and you're unpacking, right? And you're unpacking. You're over by the bed.
What are you doing with that flute?
You said, you're unpacking by the bed, and you're going to look. You said, I'll take this bed. He's like, you know, not even really worried about it. Okay. And he's unloading his stuff. He's got small stuff, you know. And he pulls out this thing, and Stack says, oh, you play a flute? You play an instrument? And the next thing you know, you shoot a tranquilizer dart in your net. So fast forward, you know.
This is Friday afternoon.
This is Friday, right.
Monday morning.
No, you wake up. He wakes you up, you know, he's going to give you a light dosage. You wake up maybe a couple hours later. Stack say he dressed you up in drag. You got the big apple that the stuff in your mouth chained around your head.
You're wearing heels. Your toenails are painted.
He's just going to have his way with you for the whole weekend. He keeps you tied up. You know, here to knock at the door. Here to knock. Housekeeping. You just hand out a 20, just like $20. Just give me some towels, and you come out of your comatose. He goes on with this the whole thing. The whole room is just crying, you know. Like, this man is sick. Who thinks of this stuff?
And this is the PG version of the story. It's actually a lot raunchier than that.
What's actually going through your mind?
Saturday night, he calls up all his friends.
All right, cut it.
And his buddy come over.
Cut.
All right, we all go on Stack. Like, listen, we have propped you up for this big blog, right, P-Double?
Yeah, we're ready kick it off.
We want this political views. Stat, what's going on?
I mean, oh, my goodness. I'll keep it brief because I watch a lot of news.
What's up with these bombs I hear?
10 different bombs, maybe more now. They think they might have been sent from Miami. There's a lot of focus on Miami right now. But anyway, Bill Clinton got one. Obama. Anyone that was a Democratic enemy of Donald Trump, Wasserman Schultz, she actually based out of Miami, some other people, even Robert De Niro. So anyway, these are pipe bombs that were mailed in manila envelopes. The labels were on there. Somebody licked the stamps or put stamps on there. This fool's going to get caught because every bomb has a signature, and the FBI
Listen, he better hope he gets caught, because you're a dumb motherfucker that sends a bomb to Robert De Niro and thinks you're going to live through that.
Right. Right. What if he goes
you,
in the
you
camera?
Sending a bomb to me? Are you sending a bomb to me?
That's awesome. So Trump gets a hold of it, and now he's saying, you know, the press is trying to say, well, you know, Trump is stoking up all this anger and fear, and you know, his base, a lot of them are kind of nuts, you know?
Right.
But the fact that they're all Democrats, they're all, you can some way tie them to Trump, you know, disagreeing or not agreeing with him. I mean, he's really spooky, the things he's saying. And now he's trying to say that the press is the enemy of the state and, you know, it's okay to go back against your enemies and hurt them physically or mentally.
Jeez.
I mean, it's just a total, it's just bizarre.
So did you hear him at a Ted Cruz campaign event where Ted Cruz was just like, oh, Mr. President, all just giving him all this praises, right? When they were mortal enemies in the campaign years ago, right? I heard this lady on the radio talking about how she went to Uzbekistan. And that's the kind of campaign events you get from a dictator. You know, people get up on the stage and they go, oh, you know, the great leader this and the great leader that, you know. She said the Trump rallies reminded her a lot of campaign events in Uzbekistan, where she just spent some time.
Oh, very much so. If you study history back to Nazi Germany, I mean, it's almost, you know.
Yeah, it's the playbook.
Exactly. The things he says in the media. But, you know, hopefully at the end of the day, people will wake up to primaries.
Yeah, I can't wait for a couple of weeks. I'm going to vote. That's what I get to do. I need to stop watching all this shit like Smokestack or like National. Just not paying attention.
You see, National was quiet. National, like, what you guys talking about?
So what else is going on? NBA started. Talk about that, Corey. What's going on in the NBA? We're only, what, four or five games into it?
The biggest news was the Spitgate. You know what I mean? LeBron's first home game in L.A. as a Laker, and it was late in the game. They were getting beat. It was a play by James Harden and Ingram. And Ingram pushes Harden, and then they get together. That wasn't too much. Ingram jumps in the face of a referee real aggressively. That gets kind of calmed down. They walk him away. And then you have Rondo and Chris Paul standing face to face. And looking at some of the slow-mo replays, it kind of looks like Rajon Rondo, intentionally spit on Chris Paul. So Chris Paul, like, goes back, like, wipes his face. Then he takes his finger and sticks it in Rondo's face, mushing his head back. And then Rondo lets loose with a left hook. You know what I mean? A left hook.
Kapop.
Boom, lands. Paul comes back with a left. They are swinging. So, I mean, they're both, Ingram was suspended 4 games. Rondo 3 games. Chris Paul 3 games. You got the Sixers off to a bad start. You know, nobody's gotten better with them, but
they beat Detroit in overtime.
They lost. They lost to Detroit.
They did beat somebody recently.
They beat Chicago.
Won a couple games. His name lit the Sixers up for 50 points? Never suspected that. Yes.
Blake Griffin.
Yeah. I mean, the last 2 years he's been down. He rose up that night.
Well, it was an overtime game. So NBA's off to a good start. I mean, it all revolves around LeBron. You know what I mean? He is the shit, but they can branch it off. I mean, Golden State, what's his name? Curry just dropped 50. The Celtics, that's one of my teams. You know, they're looking good early on. The big trade in the offseason was, Kawhi Leonard went to the Raptors, and what's his name? The guard from the Toronto Raptors went to the Spurs. Can't think of his name. Dang, I can't think of the guy's name. Well, I mean, anyway.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, I can't think of his name now. It's He played with Toronto all them years. Now, DeRozan, that's it. DeMar DeRozan.
DeRozan, he went
to the Spurs, so that was the big deal. Like we already talked about in the NFL, they're at the halfway point. Baseball, my boy Pintar, we made a little bet. He took the Dodgers. He wanted to bet Mr. National $50. I'm like, whoa. I'm like, Pintar, I'll go 20. So right now, I took the Red Sox. But way back when the playoffs got started in the baseball, I said, whoever comes out of the American League is going to win this whole thing. So
I picked the Dodgers. I don't know if you remember back several months ago we talked about it. I picked the Dodgers. It's recorded. It's down in history.
It's in the annals of the Mr. National podcast. Like
episode 2 or 3, you know, way back.
Right. Is this 15?
We're on 16.
This is our sweet 16 party. Oh, man, I didn't even realize that. And we got special guests from folks that. I mean, P-Double had been asking for Stack to come on the show. And I kind of was like, well, I don't think so, because I was like, we already do a show. I didn't think it would be cool to have Smokestack on my show. So when I shot a text to Smokestack, and you know, in true Smokestack fashion, he was like, no, cool. Let me know. I'm ready. You know, I thought he could have been like, well, nah, that's not our show. We're gonna Stack on that show.
I think I bring a perspective, but you know, I've listened. I haven't listened to every single show. Some of them I listen to. I like a lot of them. You know, follow the same cadence and the same format. You get to know a lot about the person leading the podcast and National. So
when you
throw cast a wider net, and you talk about the hobby, you talk about pro sports, a little bit about politics, religion. Paul, how about that? I bet Corey didn't know about that painting, that artist that his painting
Banksy?
Was being sold. Yeah.
Banksy?
Tell him what happened.
So you know who
this
Banksy is?
A bizarre story, Corey.
This is wild. You know who Banksy is?
No.
Banksy is probably the most famous artist in the world right now. Nobody knows who he is. He started off as a graffiti artist. Okay.
Right.
And so he does these installations in the middle of the night in cities around the world. I think he's probably from London or something like that. But he'll do these graffiti installations or these fine art installations in the middle of the night, and then he'll share it on social media. People will show up the next day and here's this art. And it's
a
Banksy is what it is. So, but it's all art that it can't be owned. His art will be like on the side of a highway or something, or it'll be a temporary installation. But it's it's always in a location or in an installation that can't be owned. And that's kind of his theme. So anyway, somebody got a hold of a Banksy painting. And they sold it at one of the big art houses.
Sotheby's,
yeah.
Sotheby's.
Okay, so here's what happened. There was an auction at Sotheby's. Somebody paid however many million dollars for this painting.
Unbelievable.
How much was it for? It was over a million, right?
It was like 2.5.
Okay, let's say it was.
So they banged the gavel.
As soon as they banged the gavel, okay, sold, right? All of a sudden, you look at the painting, and it starts disintegrating. There was actually a shredder embedded inside the painting.
What?
Behind the canvas of the painting, there was a shredder installed in there. And somehow, they remotely set it off. So as soon as they banged the gavel, it shredded the painting.
Whoa, man.
But it was sold. But now somebody owns a Banksy. But it's shredded, so it's probably worth more than, you know. Anyway.
But they're saying a fool and his money shall soon depart. You know what I mean?
Well, back to his original point, Banksy said, my stuff will never be owned. You know what I mean? and right. that he was able to keep that legacy going. And for him, it was probably really humorous. He probably wanted to do that, you know.
Yeah, he's probably waiting for the right opportunity.
The crazy thing is that he was probably sitting in the audience or something. Who knows?
Nobody
knows who he is, you know.
Nope. There you go. You know, that's the whole thing. Like Stack brought up a point about the Mr. National podcast. You get to know, you know, we talk more about P Double, what he does. I talk more about myself, some of the stuff that I go through, have been through. A little bit more R-rated and on the podcast, whereas suppose the Stack Winnett show is more G-rated, and we basically just stick to our topics. So, bingo. Stack really nailed it on the head. I kind of opened up, like I said, I told P-Double before. To me, this whole thing is like therapy to me. You know what I mean? It gives me a release to talk about.
You know who's a big fan is Roger from the Gridiron Buzz Network. And I don't know if you guys have watched any of their shows yet. But on the last show at the end, he gave a plug for the podcast. And he mentioned something. He said, you know, I like listening to the guys. They talk. They follow, you know, structure most of the time. But you really get the gems when they go off script, you know, or get off topic or whatever.
Right.
And he said, there are a couple of great guys, you know, a couple of guys that couldn't be more opposite than each other. And I thought, what does he mean by that? What's the opposite?
Right.
What's he talking about?
I mean, even Stack, me and Stack are opposite. I mean, Stack grew up freaking New Jersey. He's suburbs. He's college. I'm city ghetto. Hood. You know what I mean? That opposites attract. I mean, that's it. We like cigars. We like sports. We like electric football. We like watching women. But that will lead that to another topic. We'll lead that to another topic.
So, getting back to the NFL, we forgot to, you named the coach that's hitting it out of the ballpark on the NFL side. And I think.
Yes.
I didn't hear Paul's NFL coach that you thought should be coach of the year at midpoint.
Well, I don't like Andy Reid. So I'm going to pick him as sure as hell isn't Jason Garrett.
Oh, my God.
Right. I was going to say, if you say Jason Garrett, I'll reach over in the studio and choke
him. No, I mean, I don't even think that's a job, you know. That's just like being a secretary or something.
If I held a gun to your head, who would you say?
Yeah, I'm trying to go through.
We'll probably have to be the Rams coach.
Yeah, I mean, but National already picked the Rams coach, so I'm just trying to think.
Andy Reid, through the record. Belichick.
I'm not picking Belichick yet, you know.
Mike Tomlin has done a great job with missing his star.
The running back.
Running back. You know what I mean?
2 weeks ago, they said he was losing the locker room. There's probably some other coaches. What I'm really surprised about, and go ahead, if you don't want to really pick anyone, that's fine. But as far as ones on the hot seat, obviously Arizona's coach, Denver's coach, and any other as a kind of a adjunct to that whole thing, you've got teams literally tanking because of the new rule with the free agency at midseason. You know, your trade deadline, October 30th. In the past years, you didn't have that. So now, in the middle of the season, if you go 1-4, you're 1-5, you can literally say, I'm tanking. And, right. And a good example of that is Detroit's having to fire sell. The Giants, 2 years ago, were in the playoffs. They were 11-5. They could have drafted a franchise quarterback, and so they take Barkley, and now they're in a fire sale. So, let's talk about that a little bit. I'm trying to understand.
I wouldn't call it a fire sale. The Raiders are in the fire sale. The Giants aren't.
The Giants traded Snacks, their best defensive lineman.
Yeah, I mean.
Or they traded their cornerback.
He was a cancer to the locker room. I mean.
They're talking about getting rid of Janoris Jenkins and Conley. Darian Conley, who was the number one pick. So
their offensive line, they're not going to get better. They need a quarterback.
2 years ago, Corey, they spent $50 million on their defense. When they brought Olivier Vernon in, they were trying to rebuild their defense.
Right.
This year, they brought Nate Solder, and they took Will Hernandez, the guard. They're both starting right now. They're excellent. But the middle and the other side of the line, they haven't gotten to. Okay? But my point is, to me, this is something new I'm seeing in the NFL, where teams just suddenly decide to tank and sell off all their assets.
Writing off the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little bit.
49ers didn't do it. They did it the flip way. A year ago, they were so bad, they went out and took a leap. They brought Garofalo, and they started putting the pieces in place. And up until the point when he got hurt, I really thought they were coming back.
They were.
Yeah, they were.
When did that got hurt? I like AP. I know you didn't pick a coach. I like the Ravens coach, what they're doing. Harbaugh.
I was just looking at the standings, and I was getting ready to tell you guys. I think a guy that you might be overlooking is Peyton in New Orleans. To keep that
excellent
team.
Right.
Keep that
excellent
team at
guy
the level that they're at. I don't know if that's Peyton or Breeze or, you know.
Oh, it's Peyton.
I think you're right. It's Peyton. I mean, look, they had lost their running back. He just came back about a week ago.
Right.
Guy from
Ingram or Kamara? Ingram.
It was Ingram. Yeah, Kamara had been playing the whole time, but it was just Kamara. Now you've got them both back. And the receivers are dynamic.
So I mean,
one of the teams talking about getting some of those Giants cornerbacks.
So they're 5-1 right now. Do you guys see them holding on to that spot, or because
the Saints?
I like Carolina in that division.
Starting this week, the Saints are playing the Vikings, I think. Yeah, they are.
Yeah,
I had to pick that game, and I didn't want to be just pick it because of the Vikings. So I looked at it, I did some research.
And you went through your analytics, huh?
Went through my analytics, and I still picked the Vikings. So whenever you see the asterisks next to two of my picks, those are the ones I struggle with. And, you know, I'm just throwing it out there that these, I might be wrong, but these are my, you know, I'm thinking with my heart, not my head. But the rest of the picks I think are pretty good. Most of them are going with the spread, going with the obvious.
Right. That's why we never have
two or three games a week that are going to make the
difference. The one week Corey and I bombed and you got ahead. It's hard to make up two or three games.
Right.
When you get to four, you basically have to tank. You know, I think I went 12-4 one week, and it's still, you know, it's still.
Wow, did you? You went 12-4? Wow, that's a good week.
Let me see. No, 10-5 on week four. Yeah, week three, 12-4.
Wow.
12-4, 10-5.
After the show, we're going to me and P-Double. We'll go through our picks. We go back and forth so nobody knows who nobody else is picking. And then we put stack picks in. So,
all right. Well, I have mine. I sent them to Corey. And I just set P-Dub as a contact using your phone number. I could text them to you right now. But there's four teams this week in the bye: Dallas, Tennessee, Atlanta, and the Chargers. And looking at those four teams, every single one of them needs this week to rest up.
Right.
Because I think they all have the potential. P-Dub, what do you think of the pick of the Dallas receiver? Is that going to help?
No. They picked up that receiver.
Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
From Oakland.
I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Former number one pick from Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
Do you think he's a one, Corey, or a two?
No, he's a one. He's a one, definitely. I thought it was a good pickup, giving up a first-round pick. He's only been in the league 4 years, I think, 4 or 5 years. He's a stud. He's a stud.
I mean, it could make a huge difference because they've got they just
the
don't have a
is
threat
there to be one.
Yeah, right now Washington is in front of them, and Washington is not that strong of a team.
Yeah, they're not good.
And then, so the Cowboys, that could make room, just enough room to get their running game. They got a great running game with Elliott.
Right.
And so just a little bit of pressure off of their running game by getting another, you know, a target it, for
a, him. A to target, right. Right. And then that'll move that little number 11 guy back in his natural spot in his slot. I forget.
Yeah, Beasley, yeah.
Beasley.
So yeah, you got another guy that's been playing really well for Dallas. What's his name? Gallion or something like that? Gallon, I think it is.
What they're missing is Witten. They're missing the
right. They need a big tight end. Right. They drafted him a couple of years. What was that guy? An Ace Amaro or something like that?
Gallup was the guy you were thinking of.
Who?
Gallup's playing pretty well.
That's the wide receiver.
Yeah, Gallon. Okay, but you still in the NFL, you need not just a one and a two. If you look at the Falcons, a perfect example, they go five deep in receivers. You know, they got Sanu, they've got Ridley, they've got, you know,
well, Julio. The great thing about Witten was
a guy that you could just get, you know, when you're under pressure, you can always just make that pass. And he's such a big, huge target.
That, he knew how to use his body to fend off the receiver. Right. Great.
I think he went a year or two too early. I think he could have went a little longer.
Oh, he could have played. I mean, Witten's is a pro. I like what. I mean, I hate the Cowboys, but Witten was a guy that I respected and liked.
He was a
man's man. You know what I mean? Right. He wasn't one of these guys that played tight end and be like, I'm a wide receiver, like that guy from the Saints, Jimmy Graham. You know, right. I never liked him. He seems like a diva at the tight end position. Get your big ass up in there and block. You know what I mean? 6'6", you're 260 pounds.
Who's he playing for now? He's not with
the Saints. He's with Green Bay. So, I mean, that's the NFL. We're going to turn the page to EF, okay? Couple weeks, we have the Buckeye Brawl coming up. P-Double, are you going to make that?
No, I'm not.
Ah!
It's my 10-year wedding anniversary, man. I can't go.
What?
I'll be married 10 years that weekend.
Congratulations. See that?
Thank you.
Week 16 Mr. National Show podcast, we find out P-Double is going into his 10th year of wedding.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Zach, you got any special plans?
We're gonna head out of town. We're send the kids to grandparents and
go to the Buckeye Brawl.
Get a little bed breakfast. I can tell you one thing. I watched Steve Toth play his wife the other day. You know, that ain't happening at my house. No sir. No.
She won't play. She won't play EF.
No. We're not even gonna talk about it that weekend.
No
swinging by. Let me just swing by. That ain't in the plans.
I actually like to watch women play electric football. The two that I can pick off on top of my head recently I watched play is Smokey's wife. What's her
Tamara.
Name?
Tamara.
Tamara.
Oh,
And then the guy that plays with the Atlanta Falcons, his wife. I saw her play one time. But when you watch women play, it's just like having an argument with your wife. You know what I mean? They can bring things up from like way back. They have photographic memory. They're very impulsive. And you watch them play the game of electric football, which is very strategic. And they do the same things. They ask good questions. You know, when you watched Toth and his wife play, you know, I watched her. She wasn't scared of that blitz at all. She figured, I'm going to lay a stick out here. I'm not going to worry about a sack. You know? I thought that was cool. I think women brings a different perspective. It's just like if you had Marie from the bar play, if she played electric football. Or, you know what I mean? Your personality would go into the game. But when you go to a tournament and you're playing someone you never played before, you know, you don't have any DNA on that person. You don't know. Unless you've seen him play before, but a woman is a whole different animal.
Exactly.
And I mean, lose to a woman.
Oh, you don't want to do that.
Well, I got some news for you, fellas.
We did that on the show. We did that, Jamie.
I played her twice on Sunday.
Did you? This past Sunday?
Yep. I lost 14-3 and 10-0.
Wow.
Smoke.
Yeah, I heard she's tough.
And she's going to the Buckeye Brawl.
Oh, man. I don't think I'm...
Whose wife is it? Or is she just...
Well, no, she plays by herself. She's stable. She plays by herself.
How old is she?
The Hulk listened to that show, P-Double.
Yeah.
And he was not happy with you calling him out.
Oh.
About losing to...
I'm just trying to give... All I'm trying to do, Hulk, is give her... Or rank... Well, Hulk, give her,
man.
Yeah, give... Hulk what screen, kind of caliber... What kind of caliber right. player she is.
Well, let me...
If you can beat the Hulk, that right. puts you in a neighborhood that he I'm not in.
All right, well... He said you better be in that neighborhood because you called him out. He said, when I play Paul, P-Double, whatever you call him, Corey or National, he better bring it. He was heated.
He said he's going to beat the brakes off of you.
Yeah, he's going to beat the brakes off of P-Double.
Well,
over him on the podcast, outing him that wow. he lost to a girl.
So this is, how old is this girl?
That's the beauty of BF.
Pete. How old is she?
She's got a...
20s, 30s?
No, she's older.
Yeah,
man.
I think 40s.
She's our age, Greg.
Somebody's wife or girlfriend from...
No.
We already said she comes single.
Off the street.
She's playing for herself.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
She's no joke either, man. She's got
a team.
She's got, I'm not going to comment, but she's got a, she's got a team that North Carolina Wolfpack is her team because she went to college in North Carolina. She's a college professor,
and she got bases tweaked up by some of the good guys.
Oh, you know, think people are propping her up, huh?
Yeah, she got some good bases. So,
yeah.
I talked to the Hulk and he wasn't happy about that.
Well,
I want to go on to
Hulk to her.
Well, I'm not going on that. I'm leaving that alone. I just thought I'd give him P-Double a heads up that when you must have some.
Hulk base is coming. You don't want to ruin it.
When you play the Hulk pissed off.
I don't think it's going to matter if he's pissed off or if he's not.
Right.
Last time I played him, he didn't even pay attention. He beat me 21-0. So he can get mad all he wants.
Well, he's going to pay attention there this time. He's pissed at you.
Wow.
I'm going to get on to the EC, the East Coast, the college.
Right. To me, this is the premier league right now to watch.
For college, yeah. Right.
Where's EC? Are they in Maryland?
Yeah, the East Coast. Yeah.
Who's leading that?
Well, the number one team in the land is Darian Ross. They have a power rankings, but it's done by Brian Phillips, one of their coaches. So he gets a lot of flack. So I told him, I think I posted up there that the Stack with Nat show will do their own power rankings for the East Coast. So it'll be like the AP and the UP.
Gotcha. So, all right.
You know, later on in the week, myself and Stack, we got to go through their schedule and their rankings, and we're going to critique that power ranking. We're going to come up with our own power ranking.
I've only seen, you know, I know a lot of the coaches because we've played over the years in different leagues or they've played in our leagues. Some of the coaches I just don't know, and I've watched a couple of their Thursday night games, so I know Lomax, I know Brian Phillips, I know, what's the guy?
Jumani, Darrell.
Yeah. So I can easily rank them and talk about them, but I don't want to leave anyone out, but,
We're going to do our homework, Stack.
Midway through their season, three quarters of the way, or where are they at?
They're about halfway, between halfway and three quarters through.
This is just college.
But this is just college, and they have a power ranking. We're just going to critique the power ranking.
Okay,
so,
sure, I'll do that.
Yeah, we're going to do that. P-Double, where we at? We got a show full? We got a show full.
I think that's the whole enchilada. We covered
that's the whole sweet 16 of the Mr. National Show podcast with special guest Smokestack.
Hey, I got to tell you guys a story about the lottery.
make it
back
quick.
In the early 90s, it took this guy about 20 years, but he figured out a way to game the lottery. And he had to spend about, he waited till the lottery got really, really big.
Right.
And he got investors, and he had to spend about $7
million. What?
To buy every combination of tickets. This guy actually did it. And so he actually went out and he made, like, he actually had to go out and he actually had to purchase tickets. Back then you could print them off ahead of time. So,
right.
So he had printers going. He had to make all these infrastructure investments and pick, basically bought a ticket for every combination of the thing. And he won, you know, and sometimes he had to share the lottery with
right.
another winner. But now they increased the number of possibilities so that you couldn't do that anymore. But, yeah, this guy, the last time it was done, it took him like 20 years to get up to the point where he won it. He could do this. And it was back in the early 90s. He finally won it and moved off until he lives in an island out in the South Pacific.
No way!
Yeah, he gamed it. Yep.
So he even though he spent millions of dollars, he won.
Think about it. If you spend $7 million to buy all the combination of tickets,
right?
You know you're going to win in the 100 million jackpot,
right? It's
got
a come up.
But it's not just like I'm going to take $7 million and transfer it to some account. You got to go buy the tickets, and you got to turn them in. You know, you got to go through and you got to find the winning ticket. You know what I mean? You got 7 million tickets sitting in your. True story. Google what? It.
Wow. Well, there you go. P. Double didn't drop the gym on us. Folks, we are winding down. Mr. National Podcast, show 16. I had my right-hand man, Smokestack, come in.
Yeah,
dropping
good, to,
out.
Good to have you, Smokestack.
Hey, Smokestack, we got to get you on that blog, dude. You're mine. We want to put your mind to the pen.
Yeah, we got to bring
it
to right.
We need to add that to the website.
Yeah,
we already had a Mr. National Podcast. We have Stack with Nat Show excerpts in there. If we can get you, get off your lazy yellow ass and start writing, we'll be money. We will have that $7 million to buy all them lottery.
National could buy his get his walk-in closet.
I want my walk-in closet. I do. I want it.
And that blog is the linchpin that will get us.
Is it? Smokestack, start writing.
You want the closet
that.
With the big island in the middle? Place
yes.
for your sneakers. Place
for
your caps.
You know what?
Wow.
Listen, guys, you know what won't be in it? Work boots. Won't be no work boots in there. Won't be no hard hat, no high-vis vest. That shit'll be gone.
You're not showing
P Double,
up. All right, man.
We are winding down. P Double, take us out of here, bro.
Peace.
Peace.